So the first question is a question that was summarized from many participants who asked about the same thing, which is the metta practice. So how to receive it, as well as how to spread loving kindness to others. Some say they struggle with a great deal of anger and would like to cultivate this practice for their own happiness, while also using metta to benefit others.
So we need to understand that this is the nature of the mind that's had defilements, training it, or teaching it for a long time already. So when we have this awareness, we're perceptive of sights coming in through the eyes or hearing sounds through the ears, that there's these external sense objects meeting with the internal sensory organs. And then there is this disliking, displeasure, discontent coming up. So there's anger there. And then if that anger continues, there's proliferation upon it, then that can go into ill will or thinking of wanting to harm other people. So this is one of the nivaranas, the hindrances. It's an obstacle for the mind becoming peaceful. So the meditation methods that one can use to overcome this or to suppress anger is the cultivation of metta. It's this heart of goodwill or loving kindness. So wishing that I may be happy, that other beings may be happy. So how do we cultivate this loving kindness then? So we can be intent first and set up this intention in the heart that today I will meet with many different experiences, but I won't give in to ill will, to anger, to hatred. Today, this may be the last day of my life. That this life of mine is not sure, but my death is sure. And today I could die. So why then be angry? Why give in to ill will? And then we can try to have this recitation through loving kindness of may I be well and happy, may all beings be well and happy. And so we have this inner recitation like this, bringing the mind to coolness and to ease to one degree. But don't just yet try to spread metta towards people that you don't like, because if you try that, then anger can come up. Do you spread it towards yourself first? So may I be happy. And you can recite this in the Pali language, or in English or Thai, whatever language you're skilled in. Chinese is okay as well. So may I be happy, may all beings be well and happy. And so to bring up this coolness in the heart. And so when we recite these phrases like this, we reflect that life is not sure, but I will have to die. And then we don't be averse or have ill will. And so the mind then is peaceful, and this then holds back anger. Because if there is anger present, then metta, loving kindness, is not present. But when we bring up this recitation or the cultivation of metta, then this brings an end to anger, where anger will disappear. If we have good mindfulness, then we can observe that anger. What's it like? How long will it stay for? How many minutes is it going to be here for? So we have mindfulness there teaching the mind, and then in the end that anger disappears. Because we see that that is just the nature of the mind, that you see the presence of greed or hatred or delusion, or the absence of greed, hatred, and delusion in the mind, and how these just arise and cease. So we contemplate like this and do this frequently. But this does take time as well, because this anger has been with us for a very long time, for many, many lives already. And even just in this present life, we've been angry ever since we were a child. And it's even more the case for those who have the disposition or the character to be angry. It's a dosa character. And even for one of this type, they may just meet with something very small, a minor experience, but can get very angry about it. But for people of this type, if they also have mindfulness and wisdom, then when they decide on something, then that is decisive. Then they really just do that thing. So this is the benefit of one who has this kind of character. And if their meditation is good, they've cultivated their mind well, then they can be of a lot of benefit to other people and themselves as well. So we can also think about or recollect one previous life of the perfectly self-awakened Buddha, where he was born as a Naga. And he was caught, but still had a lot of patient endurance. Even though there was anger present, he endured with it. So as a Naga, he had great barami and psychic powers. And if he opened up his third eye, then he would be able to cause a very intense fire. But he still endured, and he didn't do that. So he had taken up the precepts, and he was keeping the precepts. So for us, we've taken up the precepts, we're keeping the precepts, that when we get angry, we don't speak from that. We don't go and start scolding or shouting at people. Even though these thoughts may come up in our hearts, we use the Dhamma to not follow those, to put those aside, and to have metta. And we think that I will need to die. And so even though there can be a lot of anger there, so maybe greed or hatred or delusion is very strong, and we think these thoughts of metta, but they just don't work, they don't hold the heart. So then we think that, well, I must die. And then through that, the greed, hatred, and delusion can reduce, and can be subdued and disappear. So we can think about the Buddha then. You can contemplate these lives of the Buddha, that each life he was born into as a bodhisattva, he had such incredible amounts of his patience, endurance. So like this life that we were talking about, where he was developing this sila barami. And even though he was killed, he didn't have anger. And so, and he had metta instead. So this is really something incredible, and something that we can learn about and put that into practice for ourselves. So we have try to have mindfulness, but even though sometimes that mindfulness isn't up to speed with our experience, we may hear something and anger just appears, hatred arises already. But we just carry on training with that. As we do so, the anger we experience reduces and reduces. And even though we still feel angry, it doesn't stay for such a long time, and then it goes. So we shouldn't become discouraged. Once one day this anger will reduce, and we will be able to have this heart of kindness and compassion. And so may you be intent on practicing this. And if you practice without stopping, then you will succeed.
Dear Longpa, during meditation, I find that my mind is quite restless as it keeps wandering to thoughts into the past and future. May I ask whether meditating in the state still generates merit? Thank you very much, Longpa, for your kind guidance.
So in the training, in the practice, that we need to accept that there are things obstructing us. It's not that we just sit down to meditate and the mind will instantly gather into peace. So we see how the merit that comes from generosity, that's something that's not so easy to create, and with sila as well. But the cultivation of the mind, bringing the mind into peace, this really is something that does take time. And so the scatteredness of mind, this restlessness, the thinking about the past and the future, this is a habit of our minds. It's been thinking like this for a long time now. And so therefore we need a meditation object for the mind. It may be Buddha or Dhamma or Sangha uses these as the object of our minds to prevent the minds from going and thinking in a scattered way about things to do with the past or the future. So like these thoughts about the future, if they come up, then we can reflect that, or do I know when it is that I will die? Do I know which day that I will die? Which year? Which month? How am I going to die? I just don't know. So like us sitting here right now in meditation, and then when we get up from our seats, then how far are we going to get before we die? We just don't know. So we can think in this way in order to settle the mind down so that it doesn't proliferate about things. Or the thinking about that which has passed. The Buddha said that we shouldn't think about the past with grief, but we should train to bring the mind into the present moment. So meditating in this way is that merit, the source of merit. Well, it's beginning to develop merit through this cultivation of the mind. Because the heart which is peaceful is meritorious. But if the mind is not yet peaceful, then this is the... we don't get that kind of merit from our meditation, but it is beginning to bring up merit because we have this forbearance. And we can think that if we don't try to meditate, if we just don't do it at all, then the mind is just going to carry on getting more and more scattered and frantic. And in each life we get born into, that's what it's going to be like. So we need then to be training our minds. We see how all practitioners of the past, that they didn't just start off with a peaceful mind, that this took training, it took effort. And for myself, when I started training the mind, bringing it to peace, and there was this happiness, a rapture that came up. It felt like both my body and mind were very light. And there was an inner contentment that I felt. But I didn't keep up that practice consistently. And so I let it go. And then as time passed, then the mind would go off and think about all different kinds of things. You know, just go off into the past and to the future. And it felt like the mind was just spinning and spinning. And I saw the drawbacks of that. Why is my mind this way? It felt like it was really hot. And then I compared it to the peace, the coolness of samadhi that I had felt before. But now it was really hot. Now I'd sit in meditation for 5 minutes, but it felt like it was a really long time. It felt like it was an hour. But previously, when the mind was peaceful, I'd sit for an hour and it would feel like it was 5 minutes. And so it had flipped over like this. So therefore, don't become discouraged. And don't think, well, am I getting any merit from this? Well, this is meritorious. And really be intent on carrying on practicing. This is the start of the arising of merit through meditating, through cultivating your mind. The merit that comes from generosity, from virtue, you can do that already. And so now this merit of meditation is something you need to be training in. And as you do that, then one day the thoughts will reduce. The mind going off thinking about the past and the future will get less and less because you've been practicing every single day. And throughout the day, in your daily life, you recite Buddho, Dhammo, Sangho. And when you're practicing in a meditation retreat like this, then you can be doing that as well throughout the day, Buddho, Dhammo, Sangho, or reciting just Buddho, Buddho, Buddho. And throughout the day, be doing this. And then maybe one day, perhaps the third day, fourth day, fifth day of the retreat, then this peace will start growing and growing. And you'll feel a coolness, a peacefulness there within the mind. And then you'll see how the Buddha prays that just one moment of a mind of peace brings incredible merits.
So this will be the last question for tonight. It's from a laity here in Wat Mop Chan. How does one repent after having disrespectful thoughts towards the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha?
So this too is something which is normal for the heart. So when we are intent on practicing, this is something that the defilements, they don't really like. What the defilements like is to take us to be deluded, to drag us into birth and death in samsara, which is just filled with suffering. So the Buddha taught the Dhamma, and then the Sangha are those who taught this following him. And the kilesas, they don't like this either. So perhaps some thoughts along there, those lines arise. In the past, perhaps it was even speech which is disrespectful towards the Buddha or the Dhamma, and not believing in these things. And so the minds of practitioners can be like this. But we can feel lightened or relieved that the Buddha doesn't hold on to this, doesn't have any anger towards us or wish to punish us in any way. And that's the same for the Dhamma and the Sangha. And so these are things which we have done already and being actions that have passed that we're not able to change them. But we can ask for forgiveness that through any acts of body, speech or mind towards the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, which were misdeeds, which were disrespectful, then may there not arise any badness from that. So just like we chant in the evening chanting, We do that for the sake of restraint of ourselves in the future. So each day we can be intent on doing that. And even though we may think that we haven't been heedless in any way, but we just do that first to prevent ourselves from being heedless. And so in the, whether it's the past or the future, if there are any thoughts which stray away from the path, that these thoughts are normal, and we can ask forgiveness for them, that may there not be any harm that arises from this. And may this not be something which obstructs my practice. Because mistakes are something which are natural, but these are unskillful states which have arisen in the past, and they are past already. But in the present moment, we should be intent on bringing up skillful states. So we can be intent on asking forgiveness. And we can perhaps get some candles and flowers and incense, and we can pay homage in front of a Buddha image and say these words that through body, speech, or mind, whatever misdeeds that I've done towards the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, that may no harm arise from that, and for the sake of my restraint and composure in the future. And then when you do that, your heart can feel more at ease and comfortable.